Okay, we're up the karpas. Is the shaila exactly what vegetables you're supposed to use for karpas? We're not getting into that now. The Shulchan Aruch and so on and so forth. The Gemara says that we dip twice over the Seder so that the children should notice that something strange is going on. So there seems to be a split here in how to learn pshat. Some people say that the pshat is that dipping one time during a meal is not strange. So we dip by karpas so that when we dip by mar, the children should think that that's strange, that we dipped a second time. Some people say that the pshat is that it's strange to dip before you actually start the meal, in which case both dippings are strange. It's a different, that's the way the Torah learns. The first one is that we do the first dipping so that the second one should look strange. I forgot it. Now if you say that we're doing the first dip so that the mara should look strange, so then obviously it's pasha that the reason we don't do that by matzah, why don't we do something so that the matzah should look strange? It's because matzah is strange. Be'etzim. We don't eat matzah the whole year. We're not matzah on matzah the whole year. Maror is a vegetable that we're dipping, and that was a common thing, to dip vegetables. So in the thing that might be confused as common, we want to make sure that nobody makes a mistake and thinks that it's common. So we dip it. Those are two ways. We'll see, I think, in the Manishtara that it makes it possibly an afkamina in the Girsa of Manishtara, which way we learn. We'll see then. Okay, do you take Bachas Mikazayas? It says in the Paiskim, and this you look in the Bir Alacha and the Mishnah Berura, this is a whole, becomes a whole big mevucha, because it's brought down that we said last time that you have a chiyuv to wash your hands on vegetables that are dipped in liquid, but that's only if they're bigger than a kazayas. If they're not bigger than a kazayas, it says that you don't have to wash. And over here you see that if it's less than a kazayas, you still do have to wash. Chaim Bir Alacha, he talks about it. What? What? No, it's not about how much you're planning on eating. Okay, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that you should dip the karpas into vinegar. So now here's the interesting thing, the way that we...
Who's this?
The Shulchan Aruch. So the way that we grew up thinking that part of the mitzvah is that it should be salt water, that's part of the mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah says that you can dip it in anything you want. Since you could dip it in vinegar, you could dip it in salt water, you could dip it in wine, you could dip it in anything. Just don't dip it in charoises, because the mar gets dipped in charoises. It's just like fuke charoises, Mishnah Berurah says. But lemaisa was nagu, the velt, the minig was nishtarve, the minig developed that the velt dips in salt water. And there are different reasons for that. Some say it's a remnant of the tears of the Yidden Mitzrayim. Some say that it's a... that since they mauled themselves, since they did a mila on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's an inyan of tevila after mila, so many people went down to the Nile to be tevil that it like made cloudy the water of the Nile. So therefore it's similar to the salt water, that's like cloudy water. That's what some people say. A lot of Yidden got the bris mila then. You look at the pesukim, you see. Okay, that's karpas. Everyone knows the remez. Also is brought down this from the karpas. It's the word samach and perach. It's a remez with the soul water. It's a remez to the shishim ribu yidden that were oivir avoidus perach. That's the simon. It's brought down in very early sorum. This, and my purpose here is not to go into every gematria or lima that they say, but this is a very classic, very old lima that they say. Karpas is samach perach. Okay, then we have yachas. Take the middle matzah, break it into two halves. The smaller half gets put back between the two matzahs. People leave it sticking out, so you can see that there's a piece of matzah sticking out. Dafka the middle matzah. The bigger half gets wrapped up and gets put away for afikoman. There's a minig, some people have this in my mishpacha, has this minig. Different people have it in different ways. There's a minig to say... there's a minute to take the af tefillin after it's wrapped up, some people do, and to put it over their shoulder, put it over your shoulder by the Seder. But some people, a lot of people do it in some places, only the one who's running the Seder does it. And the idea is to remember that the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim with just freshly baked matzahs. My family, my father puts it over his shoulder and he says the pasuk, Tzurois v'simloisem al shichmam, the pasuk that says that they had the matzahs tied up in cloths on their shoulders. And he says that pasuk while he puts it over his shoulders. Some people are not. Okay, so we're going to get into that soon. Probably today, we'll get into that. If you look in the matzahs u'sha'anu oichlam al shum ma, it says that that is why we eat matzah. Well, so we'll see. So let's see. Okay. Why are we putting the big piece of matzah away for Hafikoyman? That's a reference to the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was eaten in the end of the meal. And the Shvura we put back to... we put back in its place. Why are we breaking the matzah right now? Right before we start the Haggadah? So it's because we know that... Lechem Oini broke. The Gemara learns that the Lechem Oini is Lechem that has to do with Anius, with like an Ani, reminds us of an Ani. And the Gemara says, Ma Ani Darkoi Viprusa, so therefore this matzah is broken in half. And by breaking the matzah in half, we make it have shaykhs to an Ani, because an Ani is not wealthy enough to have whole pieces of bread. He eats pieces, you know, broken pieces. So by breaking it, we make it into more Lechem Oini. So why do we do that now? Why do we have to make it into Lechem Oini now? Because we're about to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're about to hit the Siman of Magid. And one of the drushes of Lechem Oini is Lechem She'oinin Olav Dvarim Harve. Lechem, bread that many oinin means to say. One of the drushes that the Gemara says of Lechem Oini is Lechem She'oinin Olav Dvarim Harve. Lechem that many words are said upon it. Like about this Lechem. Many words are said about this Lechem.
So why do we?
So therefore, as a hakadoma to Magid, we taka put this lechem oini on the table, and we're oining all those varim habi with the matzah on the table. We say the whole story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What? We break it because that's what makes it the lechem oini. Ma oini darkoi v'prusa, just like an oini eats broken pieces, so too this lechem is broken. By breaking it, we made it into lechem oini. I heard when I was younger an interesting thing. I think I might have some shaykhs over here. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram goes to war against the. Against those that attacked Sodom, against the four kings. You didn't expect me to bring up that parasha right now. So Avram went to war, to free Lot. It says over there that he conquered them, Vayicholek aleihem laila, and he divided the night on them. That's literally what it means. He divided the night? What does it mean he divided the night? So Rashi says you have to move around the words to get what the pshat is. What's the vayicholek aleihem laila? Rashi says that at night they split up. When you have a chasing army, an army that's chasing after a retreating army, so the retreating army, this one runs that way, these group of men run that way, so they, you delegate. Okay, this troop, this brigade is going to go head after those guys. This brigade is going to head after this. That's why Yecholik Aleim Laila. By the time the night came, the troops of the four kings were in retreat, and by Yecholik Aleim Laila means that at night they divide. Avram divided up his 318 men to chase after the different troops. That's what the Pashup Shad is. Zogt Rashi Umedrash Agada, and this is an interesting thing to know, Stam Al Tisiyas Mitzrayim. This is, by the way, in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Tetzvav, Parshas Lech Lecha. Umedrash Agada, Shenechla Kalayla, the night was divided up. Hashem divided up the night. The first half, a ness happened. What happened to the second night? And the second half, Hashem had waiting. The night was mesugal for Nisim. So the first half of the night, Hashem made that nes happen to Avram by his chasing after the four kings. But the Chetzi Hasheni was waiting for Mitzrayim to Chatzos HaLayla when Klal Yisrael is going to the middle of the night. The second half of the night from Chatzos and on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the Eden out of Mitzrayim. Which is not stam, when Midrashim are very, very medakatic, and obviously it's not stam that Avram was chasing after four kings, that was one miracle, and then by Chatzos HaLayla there was a nes, and that's another miracle. Obviously there has to be some shaykhis, but if you look in the Ramban, in the beginning of that parasha, you'll see in Parashas Lech Lecha, the Ramban learns that Avram's fighting the four kings is a mashal to Klal Yisrael being menatzeach over the four malchias throughout history. And we all know that also, that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, we gain the kaychus to be able to battle and free ourselves from all gullius. That's why we say by Ma'ariv that by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out l'cheirus oilam. Hashem took us out to an everlasting cheirus. The everlasting cheirus, the cheirus oilam, is because after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can no longer be meshuvet permanently. We have the kaychus to get out of every gullus. So the maisa of the ability of Yidden to break out of Golas was the first half of the night. That was by Avram destroying the four kings, and each one of those four kings is a remiss to another one of the Malchios, the Ramban says. Look at Ramban in the beginning of that parak. And Hashem said, the second half is the Simen Labanim, when the Yidden Taka came out of Mitzrayim, and with the coming out of Mitzrayim is a Cheirus Olam, a Cheirus Taka from all the Malchios. Anyhow, so I was once listening to a shir, and the person who was giving the shir read this Rashi and said, "Sounds like an Afikomen." Hashem divided the night. Part of the night he used right now, and part of the night he put away for. It's an interesting thing, and I wonder if it's Taka Marum is an Afikomen such a thing, that the ultimate geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem had shamur by him, just like we hide Afikomen. Penny's already getting ready for that, but just like we hide the Afikomen, we shamur it, till the end of the Seder. So we're shamer it until the end of the Seder. So too, you see from here in this Rashi that they kept the Afikomen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his Afikomen hidden until the end of the Seder. Years and years passed Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and maybe the bigger half also, the bigger nest, the more godless the Kegilah of Kavod Shemayim. I also wonder if it could be that there's a remiss here in putting away the Afikomen to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klapi the Geula that we didn't have yet. I once heard, and this is later on the Haggadah, I wonder if we'll get to this part of the Haggadah, so I'm going to mention it now, that we know later on in the Haggadah it says Rabbi Yehuda Hayanoisim Bahem Simonim. Rabbi Yehuda gave Simonim. And in the Simonim, Rabbi Yehuda said Simonim of the Makkos, the Simonim were the Tzacha. The tzach achav, how does it go again? Adash be'achav. The tzach adash be'achav. So it's a modern thing. We go through the Elohim, Samarkand, Shevi, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzrayim, Dom, Tzvardei, Akinim, we spell them well, and we say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda had this cool trick. He was able to make three words out of them. What's the point of this? It was on the matter like that. It was still, what's the point? So I once heard that the idea is that it's brought in Chazal that the Gula HaAsida that we're going to be zechut to, that we wait for every day, the Nisim V'Neflay is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shower upon us when Klal Yisrael reaches its Tachlis and its Tafkid are going to be so powerful, so great. It's going to be such a massive change in the whole world that the Makas of Mitzrayim are going to seem like Roshei Prakim. They're going to seem like just the Shirish. Of something, you take a little seed and it becomes a whole tree. That's the relationship between each makkah and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. Lots of love. So Rabbi Yehuda Yanoisim Bahem Simonim is to be meramis that these makkahs are only simonim. The simonim of what's going to happen, that it's brought down in Psukim and in Chazal, that the geulas of Asid Lavay are going to be even greater and more massive and more incredible than the geulas of Mitzrayim. So Im Kain, it could be that that's the Shana Afikayim.
That's
why he made Simonim, to show that they're just Rashi Brook.
Well, to show that they're just Rashi, right. But they are just Rashi Brook.
Yeah. And could be that's the pshat in Afrika. I mean, that we want to show that we was zechut to a geula tonight. We're sitting by the Leil Seder. We was zechut to a geula tonight. But the bigger half, the ikar geula, the geula asida, is shomer by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That in the end of the Seder, in the end of Olam Hazeh, then that's when we're going to get the bigger half. I wonder if that might be another remez over here of Yachatz. It's not brought in the Gemara, Yachatz, by the way. It's interesting. Brought in the Rishonim, it's not brought in the Gemara. Okay, now we start Magid. Again, we said last time you're supposed to stay out each thing. This point already people are starting to forget. So say Magid. You're Yaitzev, you don't say it, but they bring down from the Sfarim, it's a chashuva thing to say. Okay, so Magid is a mitzvah to be Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, to speak about the B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we said already the Rebbe is of Oyin and Olav Dvarim Harbe, that we leave the matzah there because we're Oyin and Olav Dvarim Harbe. Chazal also say another Rashi Tevis. They say that Pesach is Nutrikin, Pesach, the mouth speaks. Pes is a mouth, Sach is to speak, like Sach, Sichas Chulin. Pesach, the mouth speaks, the mouth talks. Sichas Chulin, Shatamid HaChamim, Sach. You see, there's a special inyan of talking the night of the Seder. It's interesting. Usually we say, Siyag l'chachma shtika. It's better not to do so much talking. The Leila Seder, we dafka the inyan to talk. The Lamar Bela Saber B'Tzias Mitzrayim HaReiz HaMeshubach. There's inyan to talk a lot that night. Where is Chazal? So, it's interesting that the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, about Klal Yisrael, Adam Atem, it says. You are Adam. And Chazal learned from the Gemara says, in a few places, Atem Kruyim Adam, that you, Klal Yisrael, are called Adam. The Ein Umay Sa'olam Kruyim Adam, and the Goyim are not called Adam. When we say Adam, we mean Yidden, not Goyim. And the Pshat is that Adam Rishon after his Chet had a tremendous Yerida, and the Madrega of Adam, what Adam is supposed to be, was at an all-time low. And at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to a certain extent, the Madrega of what Adam is supposed to be was restored to its former glory. Yidden are the Adam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. Goyim are some lower men. But Yidden, that's the Adam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. What separates a man from an animal? It's his power of thought and it's his power of speech. In the power of speech, you have the Yisrael HaAdam and HaBehema. The difference between a man and an animal is that man is a Koyach HaDiva and animal does not. So therefore, on the night that we became the true Adam, Atam Kriyam Adam, that's a night where we exercise our Koyach HaDiva, our ability to speak, to be Madgish, how special we are, that we're the true Adam. So Magid is a time for talking a lot about the right things. Okay. Halach Ma'anya. This gets to what Ephraim is waiting for. Okay, so Halach Ma'anya was written in Aramis. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Halach Ma'anya is Lach Ma'anya's take is the Arami words of Lechem Oini. Lechem Oini, bread of. I see. I think the Haggadah is translated bread of affliction. Affliction is Lashon of Inui, pain. Lechem of pain. It's the bread of pain. Maybe it's more accurate, we'll see as we go along, to translate it, the bread of poverty. Maybe. I'm not sure, how does the art scroll translate it? Oh, I have here. Here it's translated the bread of affliction.
Maybe.
See, they call it the poor bread. Bread of poverty. It's the two different types of inui. Is it lashon of oini or is it lashon of inui? Is it a lashon of poverty or a lashon of pain? It's interesting. See, these big machlokes and haggadahs over here, in the English haggadahs. Is it poverty or is it affliction? Is it poorness or is it pain? So that we'll have to see. Let's see. What's the makar to the fact that matzah is called lechem oini? Does anybody know? Anybody? Ephraim? How do you know? Why is matzah called lechem oini? It's pasuk in the Torah. It's not in Bayin, it's not in Va'era, and it's not in any place you might think of looking. It's in Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tazayin Pasuk Gimel, it says like this, talking about Pesach, it says, Lo'isoich al olav chametz, do not eat chametz with the carbon Pesach, Shivas yomim toich al olav matzos, you should eat matzah for 7 days, lechem oini, which is lechem oini. Because you came out of Mitzrayim in a great hurry. In a great hurry you came out of Mitzrayim. So we have to understand why is matzah called lechem oini? Why is matzah called bread of Oinik.
Affliction slash poverty.
So poor Yochanan doesn't have an English Haggadah there. So you have to say it, right? So some say pshat that it's flat matzah. Matzah is flat. Just like an oni walks around like slinking into the ground. Doesn't like this. Doesn't stand. Just like an oni doesn't stand tall. Some say such a pshat. The most famous pshat is the pshat of the Abarbanel, and we'll see soon that other Rishonim say the same thing. The most famous pshat is that it's brought down one of the Rishonim, maybe it was the Abarbanel himself, I don't remember who. One of the Rishonim says that he was traveling somewhere and he saw in a certain place, imagine to his great surprise, that when they, in this place, when they wanted to feed the Avadim, they fed them matzah. Imagine his whole life he's eating matzah on Pesach, and he goes traveling one day and he sees that the masters are eating bread and the Avadim are eating matzah. That's a very curious discovery. So he looked into why that would be true, and he found out that they're makri that the slaves eat matzah because they don't want to feed them so much. And matzah, anyone who's experienced Pesach via Darf Sazai knows, that matzah is very, very difficult to digest. It stays in the stomach for a very, very long time. So therefore, since they don't want to deal with their slaves, they don't want to feed them so much, they don't want to feed them so often, so they used to feed them matzah. So Zakti Abarbanel, that's that's matzah. It's called lechem ayni. It's lechem of avadim. I don't know if he means poor people or affliction. Maybe he's even referring to inui. You see soon. Pesach pashas. He means inui. It's lechem that reminds us of our avdus, because the avadim, he says mistame in Mitzrayim. All the years of the Shiva of Mitzrayim. It's an amazing thing. There came the time of their geula, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a tzibur, eat matzah. We think that they were told to eat something new and exciting. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them to eat, according to their Rabbi, the same food that they've been eating for over 200 years. To eat matzah. That's what they've always been eating. Matzah. Maybe they eat whole matzah now. That's what the Abarbanel learns.
Or it's a makma that the matzahs can't crack in it. If the whole point is to break the matzah.
What do you mean we can't crack?
Yeah, that's be full complete.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, prime. That's also in the Haggadah. Alright, we're going to have to deal with that. Alright, let's talk now about Lechem Ayini. It's a good point. And if I don't fully satisfy you by the end of the shir, then I'll satisfy you after shir. Okay? Rashi, Parshas Re'eh, seems to learn clearly like the Abarbanel. Rashi says, Lechem Ayini, tell me what you think. Lechem Shemazkir Es Ha'Ayini. A lechem that reminds us of the b'chayra affliction. Bayares onyenu, inui, shenisanu b'mitzrayim, that we were pained, that we were hurt in Mitzrayim. Why would this bread remind us of the? Why would this bread remind us of our tzar in Mitzrayim? Because probably the avodim ate matzah. Sounds like the Rashi's. No, I don't know. This Rashi really comes from a sifri, and I looked up the sifri. And the Netziv, there's a pirush of the Netziv on the Sefri. The Netziv also learns the same way as the Abarbanel, that they ate matzah, they actually ate matzah in Mitzrayim. Look at the Sfarnu on this pasuk of Lechem Ayini, says the same thing. Look at the Chizkuni, he's mashmin the same thing. Seems to be agreed amongst the Rishayim that that's the pshat. Comes along the Maral, and he says very strong language against this pshat. Says it can't be, it's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. And he asks a few kashas on it, but the most important kasha is that the pasuk is not mashma like the Rishayna. That's a very, very, very stark kasha. Listen carefully to the pasuk. Loisaychal olav chametz, don't eat chametz, shivas yamim toichal olav matzahs. Eat matzah for 7 days, lechem ayini. Why should I eat lechem ayini? Now, Ephraim, if the Rishayna are right, it should say, ki avadetem b'mitzrayim. Or ki moru es chayechem in Mitzrayim, or ki nis inu aischav in Mitzrayim. It should say some kind of lashon that you should eat lechem ayini because they caused you tzar in Mitzrayim. It's l'chari what the pasuk should say, but the pasuk doesn't give that reason. The pasuk says the reason is ki b'chipaza in yatzasa me'eres Mitzrayim, because hurriedly You came out of Mitzrayim. You were hurried out of Mitzrayim. Which seems to be Meramis to the whole idea that we say later on in the Seder that there wasn't time for the bread to rise. One second. So it's called Lechem Oini because as Avadim I ate it in Mitzrayim and I should eat that bread that I ate as Avadim in Mitzrayim because I left Mitzrayim? The pasuk doesn't flow. Pick a side. It's one way or the other. Either Lechem Oini means Lechem of affliction, Lechem of Inui, and I should eat it because I suffered Inui in Mitzrayim. Or Lechem Oini is Lechem, or we'll have to see what else Lechem Oini could mean. Or don't discuss Lechem Oini and just discuss that we eat matzah because Kibbutz Chipazon, Yotzah Zem Mitzrayim. The pasuk is very sure. But Lechem Oini is what they ate in Mitzrayim, so then it's a zecher to being in Mitzrayim. So why does it say I should eat the matzah that I ate in Mitzrayim as a zecher to leaving Mitzrayim? That's very odd. It's a good kasha? Ephraim, Maral's asking good? The Maral says that we're not... So the Maral says what Rabbi, what was his name yesterday? No, what?
Oh, over here. Blumenfeld. I think his name is Blumenfeld.
Blumenstein, something.
Yeah, it's
Blumenfeld. Blumenfeld. Rabbi Blumenfeld, the Mash. He spoke out of the Maral, and the Maral that he spoke out is the Maral's response to this kasha. The Maral says, in Chabur a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night, I spoke out a different part of this Maral. The part that I spoke out then was the second teretz. The teretz that he said, which I'll repeat now, is the first teretz. Maral says that Lechem Oini means Lechem not of affliction but of poverty, poor man. But he says, not because a poor man is nebuchadnezzar, it was a reminder of avdus adarava, he says. This is the mind-boggling thing. He says, anios, poverty reminds us of cheiros. He says, because rich people, they're tied down to so many different things. They have nechasim and this and that. They're tied down. They're not independent. They're tully in many things, and many things are tully in them. They're mitzuref to many different things. He says, Lechem Oini is basic Lechem. If you add other ingredients to the Lechem, it's not called Lechem Oini anymore. It's called Lechem Matzah Ashira, it's called. It's not called... the point is that it's simple. It's 100% simple. It doesn't need a lot of things. It takes care of itself. It's simple bread. That's the idea. When we say Lechem Oini, we don't mean Oni to point out the desperation of being an Oni. We mean Oni in terms of an Oni lives the most simple life. The shirt on his back, the next meal, simple life. Simple life is the life of an Oni. An Usher lives a complex life. And he says, when Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, when they were in Mitzrayim, so they were Tully and an Odo, and they had responsibilities, and life was complex. They came out of Mitzrayim, they were free. They weren't Tully in anybody. That's like just like an Oni, who's like unattached. Unattached, and that's what it means, Lechem Oini. Zokt the Maral, that's the pshat in the pasuk. You should eat matzah, Lechem Oini, simple bread, unattached bread, not complex bread, because you hurried out of Mitzrayim, because you got out of Mitzrayim. Because you had a geula from Mitzrayim. And the geula from Mitzrayim allowed you to also be not mitzuref, not dependent on an adayin or following any orders or living a certain type of life. Zokte Maral, that's why the geula happened in the first month. It happens, he says it happened on the unattached month. A second month, a third month, a fourth month, only there because there was a first. You can't jump straight to a second. The first one is not dependent. It's called the first one whether there's a second or there isn't a second. The Chodesh HaRishon is the most independent. Whenever you have a set of numbers, number one is independent. Number two depends on one. Number three depends on one and two. Number one is independent. If you look in the Kolboy, in the Haggadahs, they have a lot of Rishonim together. So there's a Pirush there called the Kolboy. He sounds a little bit like the Maral. The Lashon that he says is, the Lechem Oini Yochlu Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim, our forefathers ate Lechem Oini in Mitzrayim, Derech Kipazoin, very quickly. That doesn't mean that when they were slaves, they ate quickly. Sorry, they wouldn't have to pick that word, Kipazoin, or what's he bringing that in. His point is to a reference to the Pasuk. They ate Lechem Oini in Mitzrayim and they were about to leave. B'chipazin, that's like the Maral. Lechem Oini is not because they of the suffering in Mitzrayim. Okay. So that's Lachma Anya. We'll We'll see as we go along. We'll see that these two pshatim. Just to say, b'kitzur, there's two pshatim in lechem ayini. One is that it's lechem that reminds us of the tzar of Mitzrayim, which means because the Rishonim say that they ate matzah all the years they were b'avdas in Mitzrayim. One is that lechem ayini just means simple bread, which reminds us of the geula that they became unattached, undependent on other people. Of course, dependent on the Rabbeinu Shalom, but undependent on other people in Olam Hazeh. Those are the two pshatim of lechem ayini. One is that it's lechem of the geula, and one is that it's lechem of the galus. Two exact opposite pshatim in the same words.
It's funny, okay. There should be the same word.
Yeah. So we have, so we start, let's look inside. This is the lechem ayini. The achalu avosana ba'ara de Mitzrayim that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. So now just for a moment, there's a girsa, some of you will see in your Haggadahs, some people are goyris, either kiha lachma anya, like this poor bread, or ha kilachma anya, this is like the poor bread. The achalu avosana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. Those are two variations of a different gear, so that we most of our Haggadahs are Holach Ma'anya, without a Chaf, but many Haggadahs are Geiris with a Chaf. It's like this bread we ate in Mitzrayim. So I saw a very, very beautiful mashal that they say to explain why we should not say the chaf, like our girsa. A beautiful mashal that explains our girsa. It says there was once a poor man, and he had a big family, and he couldn't support them. So he used to take his cloak, and put on his heavy cloak, and he would head out to do business. And he would, little by little, he would scrape together a few pennies, and buy his family something to eat, and try to do a little business, and handle something here, and something there, and make a deal over here, and over there. And eventually, Lemaisi was a smart guy, and little by little, things started to put themselves together for him, and his business grew. And first he had one branch, and two branches. And then after a while, he became a multimillionaire. From walking around city after city with his cloak on, he became a multimillionaire. So he used to pick one day of the year, and that day of the year would be his day to thank Hashem that Hashem made him into a millionaire for being such a poor man, which is the right thing to do, to thank Hashem. So that day he would sit by his royal Suda and invite his friends and his family and his sons and his daughters, and they would sit by a royal feast in a mansion. And he would put on his old tattered cloak. And when he's wearing that cloak, it would remind him of where he came from, rags to riches. It would remind him of where he came from, the hard life of schlepping from one city to the next, and now he sits in a big house, and he has a tremendous business. And when he's sitting there wearing his cloak, he would be mashpia on his children. He would give them clothing and presents and money and whatever they would ask. They knew that this was the day that whatever they wanted to get from their father, they could get from him. Because he was just so overwhelmed with gratitude to Hashem, that it was just a good day to get. And it became part of their instinct that whenever they saw their father with that cloak on, they knew, just, you know, give me more clothing, can I have more food, can I have more money, whatever they want, mama should start, you know, start pouring in. One day, the tide changed again, and he lost all his money. One thing to the next happened, and he lost all his money. And he had to sell his house and his businesses, and he no longer had food, and he didn't have money anymore. And he didn't know what to do. He was mamish at his wit's end. And his wife said, "You remember your old cloak. Take out your cloak again, put it on, and start traveling again from city to city. You'll matzliach the first time, maybe you'll be matzliach again." So he put on his cloak, as soon as his kids saw him wearing his cloak, they went over to him and they said, "We want clothing and we want money and we want food and we want tons of stuff." And he said, no, you don't understand. It used to be when I put on my cloak that it was like when I was poor. But this is it, I'm poor now. This is the real thing, I'm really wearing the cloak now. Now I'm really poor. The nimshal is like this. It used to be when Yidden sat in times Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash HaYakayim, we're going now with the Rishonim's shot with the Abar Benel. It used to be that they would take out the matzah, which reminds them of the Inuy of Mitzrayim, and they would say, "Yeah, well now we sit b'cheiros olam, we're sitting mamash in the shadow of the Beis Hamikdash. We used to be avodim, but now we're sitting in the shadow of the Beis Hamikdash." Then it would be appropriate to say, "It's like when we were avodim. It's like, it reminds us of when we were avodim, but now we're mamash b'nei chayrin. That's when we're sitting by Yisrael Shriyam al Adamasam and Yad Yisrael Takifa and Yidden are living b'chayrus. But now that Yidden are back avodim again and we're in Golos and we're Meshubed and there's anti-Semitism and bombs going off Rachmana Litzlan and people are right if Yidden and the Yitzhar is right if Yidden and we live in a matzav of and we have a Milchamas and so on and Sakonis and we don't live Becheiros. Now we take out the bread, it's like the guy who's poor taking out his cloak again. We say this is not a remez now that we're living Ba'ashiros Nifla and it's a remez of his man when we were Ba'anias. No, this is the real thing. Of course we're not stuck eating matzah now, but it's just in terms of the mushroom. This is the real thing. We take a roy for avdus. So that's what this peer says. That's why we don't say any k. It's not like. It's not. It doesn't remind us of a time. This is it. Halach ma'anya. This is the bread. I'm putting on my cloak again to go try to put things together again. I'm going to continue for another 5 minutes. Is that okay? Okay. Now it's just time to geschmack. I don't want you to lose the geschmack. I put you through the hard part of this. I don't want you to lose the geschmack. Okay, everything that we said is now you can read the halach ma'anya two ways. Just chav. Again, halach ma'anya either refers to lechem of gula or refers to lechem of galus. So this is the lechem ma'ini, the acholu avosana ba'ara de Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. So now this has two pirushim. If it's if lechem ma'ani is the bread of affliction, if it's the bread of tzara, then it means that our forefathers ate for many, many years while they were avodim. If it's the means the lechem of geula, then it means the bread that they ate one night before they went out of Mitzrayim, the matzah that they ate the night before they left Mitzrayim with the Garban Pesach. So the same words, the achalu avasana b'arad Mitzrayim, depending on how you learn lechem ma'ani, has two pirushim. Okay, now and then we go on. Kol dichvin, anybody who's hungry, how did anybody know how you know that dichvin means hungry? What? That's what the English Haggadah says.
No, that's what it says.
Well, okay, that's a good deduction. Anybody have a more clear right that that's what it means?
Well, someone's
what? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm
so if you look in the Torah, you take a chumash and look in Lamasha where it says Vayhi Rav Baaretz. Rav is a hunger. And look in the Targum, and you'll see it says Vahavo Kafno Ba'ara. Kafno. That's this word Dichvin. So then you don't have to deduct it from the Yesiv Yechel. You can actually know what the word means. The word Dichvin means hungry. Kol dichvin yesev yechel, anybody who's hungry should come and eat. Kol ditzrich, anybody who needs yesev yivsech should come and do the Pesach. See what that means. Okay, so now it's a little bit shver over here. All the mafarshim ask, why do we invite hungry people into the house? At this point, we already made kiddush, we already did orchats and karpas and yachats, and now we wake up and start inviting hungry people into the house. It could be the way, I forgot his name again. What's his name again?
Blumenfeld.
Reb Blumenfeld, that's his name? The way he said it was that Avada we invited them before. No. The Mash. Avada we invited them before. But we're just bringing it out now to show that it's a central part of the Seder. Some say, alright. Now we had Halach Ma'ani the Achalu Avasana Ba'ara the Mitzrayim, just to get the Hemshech here. This is the Lech Ma'ani that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. And anybody who's hungry can come and eat. What's the connection? This is the. We have to know Pashup Shah here before we. Before our Haggadah Shel Pesach Al Derech HaChassidus and Haggadah Shel Pesach Al Derech HaGro and Haggadah Shel Pesach Al Derech this one, we have to know what the Pashup Shah and Haggadah Shel Pesach is. This is the bread that our forefathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. Anybody who's hungry can come and eat. What does that got to do with matzah? It's a good question? No, you're not asking? What? What's the answer? What's the answer?
Who is telling you what it is?
What?
No, it isn't.
Islam was serving a lot of other foods. So Zakti Mefarshim, that the Pshat is like this. Aniyim are very embarrassed to be invited into people's houses. They don't like, they're embarrassed, they're shy. They should go be invited into somebody else's house. So this is like the Shita of the Abarbanel. We say, look, we all ate this bread together a long time ago. We're all Aniyim. We all sat and worked in Mitzrayim. Okay, so now I have a little more money, you have a little less money. We're really all in the same boat. We all work Avodim together in Mitzrayim. So come and eat with me. It's a way to make the Aniyim not be Mizbayish. Then I have Lechem Oni. I also have on my table the food of Avodim, according to that pshat. Some say the pshat is that when we start the Seder, we want to try to bring the geula. We're bringing lechem oini, especially according to this mashal that I just said. We have lechem oini over here, which reminds us of our gullus. So we want to try to do something that's going to bring the geula. And the Gemara says, G'dayla tzedakah, shemikareves is ha-geula. That tzedakah is great, that it brings the geula. So as soon as we bring up the lechem of gullus, we say right away, kol dichven yesiviecha, right away you want to do tzedakah, that we should be zeichet to the geula. Okay. Here we're going to find also there's different ways of learning. Some learn that the kol dichven yesiv yechel is not to the people. Okay, I'll make it roll if she does it. All that is if you're saying that you're calling out to Aniyim, that's if you say that the matzah reminds you of affliction, of tzar, of galus, of hunger. But if you say that the matzah is matzah of geulah, so then what's the connection between calling the Aniyim? So for that, if you look in the Rishonim, the Kolbei, which is the one that I said comes out like the Maral, if you look at the Kolbei, he says that this is all a continuation of what happened in Mitzrayim. I don't think most people know this, Pshat. Not that I'm announcing now that anybody who's hungry should come and eat. I should have announced that before Kiddush. In Mitzrayim, this is the bread that they ate in Mitzrayim on the night of the Korban Pesach, when they were sitting with the Korban Pesach and they were eating matzah. This is what they ate. And you know what they did that night? They called out and they said, "Kol dichven yesiv yechel." Anybody who's hungry should come and eat with me. It's part of the story of what they did that night in Mitzrayim. Not that I'm doing it now. So again, you have the kol dichven yesiv yechel fits according to both pshatim. If you say it's the lechem of affliction of hunger, so then the pshat is I'm doing it to make the aniyim feel good, and I'm taka inviting aniyim now. If you say it's the lechem that they ate the night of the Korban Pesach, then I'm continuing the story that night of the Korban Pesach they invited aniyim. The next word is called Ditzrich Yetzivi Yivsach. Anybody who needs, anybody who has a necessity should come and do the Pesach. We have to see what that means. So we say it like this. Also it depends. If you go like the Kolbei who says that it's saying over what they did that night in Mitzrayim. So when we say anybody who needs should come and do the Pesach, we mean the actual Korban Pesach. Right? We're sitting in Mitzrayim now. With the Imak of the Korban Pesach. So called Ditzrich, anybody who needs should come and actually bring the Korban Pesach. If you say that the pshat is that I'm inviting aniyim, so I can't invite them to the Korban Pesach. So then we say, and that's what the other Rishonim say, they call this anybody needs, Yesiv Yisrael should come and do Tzorchei Pesach, should come and take care of their other needs of the Pesach that they need. Okay. What? Maror, Rafi Kaiman, Raviya. Okay, good. Then we continue on. We're just going to finish Halach Manya. Hoshata Hacha. Now we are here. L'shana Haba v'Arad Yisrael. Next year we'll be in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hoshata Avdei. Now we're servants. L'shana Haba v'Nei Chayre. Next year we'll be free men. What? Again, what's the connection? It's amazing that we start the Haggadah with a paragraph that's completely disjointed. What's the connection? So again, if you say that they were saying this in Mitzrayim, anybody who wants to come join me for the Korban Pesach, that's what the Yidden in Mitzrayim was saying. Now we're here, next year. They didn't know that the Meraglim would end up getting them into trouble. Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Now we're Avodim in Mitzrayim. Next year we'll be B'nai, next year we make the Korban Pesach, we'll do it as B'nai Chayrin. It's a continuation, but they said, when they were in Mitzrayim, they said next year we'll be B'nai Chayrin. What? They were still in Mitzrayim, so they considered Avodah. There's two other pshatim that you could say to explain what the connection is to start talking about that we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael next year. Some say the pshat is because the pasuk says Tziyon b'mishpat tifadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah, that people will going to be zeichah to return to Eretz Yisrael by doing tzedakah. So since we just announced Kol Dichven Yesiv Yechol, Kol Dichven Yesiv Yivsach, which is Tzedakah, so now we say, oh, we did Tzedakah. Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. The Shaveh will be Tzedakah.
We're saying the same word twice then.
Right. It's a development. The Gra says that the Pshat is that we're doing it, that we just invited Aniyim in. We told them, don't be embarrassed, you could come. And then we tell the Aniyim, look, we're all in Golus. It's also to be Menachem B'Yanim. We're all in Golos, and I know things are hard for you, we tell B'Yanim. But next year, we'll be in Eretz Yisrael, things will be better. It's also to be Menachem B'Yanim. Oshato Avdei, now we're Avodim, Lashona Habo B'nei Chayrin. Next year, we'll be free men. And you look at the Mepharshim, this is said in Lashon Kodesh, that the people, the Goyim shouldn't understand. The whole thing is Lashon Aram, we don't want the Goyim to understand this, that we're saying the next year we're not going to be here. Nowadays we have free speech, so we can say it in whatever language we want. And it's important to be Mechavin at this point. It's an important thing to be Mechavin at this point. Hoshato Avdei, now we're Avodim. Sometimes we don't feel like we're Avodim. We feel very free in this country. We're free, it's an equal opportunity country. There's no discrimination, there's no racism, there's no... We feel very, very free. It's important for us to think about Hoshato Avdei. We're Avodim now. Don't make any mistake about it. We are Avodim now. And sometimes we feel the sense of Avdus more, like right now, unfortunately, today in Eretz Yisrael, there's an entire country sitting b'pachad p'chadim right now because they're expecting attacks. Any second, imminently, they're expecting attacks. And the entire, I spoke to someone who's in Eretz Yisrael, and they're like, nobody's going to town. They're not, you know, at least the smart people, they're not going to town, they're not gathering together. They're pushed sitting b'pachad p'chadim. That's not called b'nei chayrin. And in America, we're not that much safer. And the deeper thing is that we're not Avodim, we're Avodim because we're Avodim to our Yetzahara, we're Avodim to our hang-ups, to our distractions. We're Avodim from not being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. If Mashiach would come and take away all our distractions and all the things that take us away from Torah and Yiddishkeit, then we would truly be B'nei Chayrin. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.